are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.
Welcome back, folks.
We make our own whiskey and our own.
We're starting our second hour here of the American Freedom Party Report here on June 18th. Did I ever give the date? June 18th, 2017. This show is live. Your calls are most welcome at 800-313-9443. We mentioned in a previous show in the last couple of days that, how important the Sean Hannity show is. And I said, you know, this is a show that Donald Trump watches. And so if Hannity says something, first of all, it reaches millions of people. His ratings now show that he reaches 3.1 million people are tuned in when he's speaking. And I said, one of them is Donald Trump. Well, we found out that's true because Donald Trump actually tweeted in the last couple of days. He actually tweeted that Sean Hannity would be on in 30 minutes and was asking people to tune in. The president asking people to tune in to Sean Hannity. That was pretty cool. Let me just play Mike Pence for just a bit more here in Miami as he's introducing Donald Trump.
As Americans, we believe these rights belong to the entire human family. But for 58 years, the people of Cuba have labored under a repressive regime that has stifled their liberty, and with it, their future. For generations, the sons and daughters of Cuba have come to our shores in search of the freedom that their friends and family at home are denied. But while you came to the land of the free, you never forgot home. You raised your voices through the generations to demand that Cuba be free once more. And once again, you have a president who hears you and is with you.
A standing ovation for that. Ah. Let's go now to that Sean Hannity tweet, which is so neat. Let me find it here on my screen. We were going through Donald Trump's tweets when we, let's see here. Here it is. On June 16th, this is the same day that he was speaking in Miami. President Trump retweets. Oh, he retweets Sean Hannity's tweet. And Hannity tweeted, Hannity starts in 30 minutes with Newt Gingrich and my monologue on the deep state's allies in the media. And this was, in fact, a great show. And so Donald Trump actually following Sean Hannity's tweets and retweeting Sean Hannity, who, let's see how many people Sean Hannity reaches. I don't know if I can tell here. I'm not that good at Twitter. I don't know if I can, somebody who is better at this could figure it out quickly. Well, anyway, I'm sure Sean Hannity's followers are far less numerous than President Trump's 100 million followers. So Donald Trump got Hannity's tweet out to a lot of people, and that's, we're helping each other out here. Donald Trump is helping out Truthful Media, Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity's helping out Donald Trump. We here on this show, we're helping out Sean, and we're helping out Donald Trump. So that's how it goes. That's how you act as a family. And the previous tweet, Donald Trump said on Friday, back from Miami, where my Cuban-American friends are very happy with what I signed today. He signed a memorandum on Cuba, another campaign promise that I did not forget. And here is, in fact, let's see if we have that memorandum. Here is his memorandum. And this is directed to, I'm not going to read them all to you, but this is what Donald Trump's, how he's changing history. He's making history. This is just a memorandum from Donald Trump. But he just happens to be the president of the United States. So when he writes a memorandum, an instruction to his executive department, hey, that's the law, my friend. That's what the chief executive says will happen. And he directs this to the Secretary of State, Treasury, Defense, Attorney General, Secretaries of Interior, Agriculture, Commerce, Health and Human Services, Transportation, Homeland Security, the Director of National Intelligence, Director of the CIA, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They all work for Donald Trump. The Director of OMB, Office of Management and Budget. I'm leaving all the assistants out of here. UN representative, an SBA administrator, and Office of Personnel Management. And here's his memorandum. Let's see how long is it? It is pretty short. But here's what he does with just a memorandum. He says, the United States recognizes the need for more freedom and democracy, improved respect for human rights, and increased free enterprise in Cuba. The Cuban people have long suffered under a communist regime that suppresses their legitimate aspirations for freedom and prosperity and fails to respect their essential human dignity. Kaplowy! Right in the kisser. When have we had a... Would George... Either of the George Bushes have ever written something like that? I don't think so. Clinton? Jimmy Carter? Obama? I don't think so. My administration's policy will be guided by the national security and foreign policy interests of the United States, as well as solidarity with the Cuban people. I will seek to promote a stable, prosperous, and free country for the Cuban people. To that end, we must channel funds toward the Cuban people and away from a regime that has failed to meet the most basic requirements of a free and just society. In Cuba, dissidents and peaceful protesters are arbitrarily detained and held in terrible prison conditions. Violence and intimidation against dissidents occurs with impunity. Hey, I think that's kind of what's happening in the U.S., isn't it? Some of these attempts by good, clean-cut Americans to have rallies. Families of political prisoners are not allowed to assemble or peacefully protest the improper confinement of their loved ones. Worshippers are harassed, and free association by civil society organizations is blocked. The right to speak freely, including through access to the internet, is denied, and there is no free press. The United States condemns these abuses. we share some of these abuses too. And Donald Trump is overthrowing them here, just as he intends to overthrow them in Cuba. He goes on. It shall be the policy of the executive branch too. And so here he is. You see, he's laying down the law. This is with a memorandum. He doesn't need a law signed. Doesn't need an act of Congress. Doesn't need a treaty approved by the Senate. He doesn't need any judge to sign off. He just writes it down, and it shall be the policy of the executive branch. And what's the executive branch? It's most of the government. What, 5% plus of all the employees of the federal government work for the executive branch. They don't work for Congress. They don't, certainly don't work for the courts. Those branches are minuscule numerically in comparison. So this order went to every member of the executive branch, high or low. We will end any economic practices that disproportionately benefit the Cuban government or its military, intelligence, or security agencies or personnel at the expense of the Cuban people. So there's a broad goal that will stop anything that we do that violates that order from the president shall stop. We shall ensure adherence to the statutory ban on tourism to Cuba. We will support the economic embargo of Cuba. We will amplify efforts to support the Cuban people through the expansion of internet, free press, free enterprise, free association, and lawful travel. Oh, here's another one for the folks that want to see us regain control of our borders. We will not reinstate the wet foot, dry foot policy, which encouraged untold thousands of Cuban nationals to risk their lives to travel unlawfully to the United States. Nice. Here he puts that as just section E, one sentence. No more wet foot, dry foot. In other words, no more, you know, you float your way over to the U.S. and as soon as you set foot on a beach there in Key West, you're an American. Nope. Which is what the Europeans are doing to themselves right now. They're doing wet foot, dry foot. We'll talk about that in a little bit when I get to those European polls, which are so interesting. And then he has a bunch of very laudatory stuff here. We're going to go after criminals that are being harbored by the communist Cuban government. We're going to get them out of there and put them to justice. And then implementation, section 3, implementation. The heads of departments and agencies shall begin to implement the policy set forth as follows. They've got 30 days. Everybody in the executive branch, within 30 days of the date of this memorandum, the secretaries of Treasury and Commerce, in coordination with the secretaries of State and Transportation, shall initiate a process to adjust current regulations regarding transactions with Cuba. In other words, shape up. Shape up or ship out. You're going to do it this way now. Take all your Obama directives and crap from Barack Hussein and file it in the circular file. These are the rules now. As part of the regulatory changes described in this subsection, the Secretary of State shall identify the entities or sub-entities that are under the control of or act for or on behalf of the Cuban military, intelligence, or security services, or personnel, such as the Grupo de Administración Empresarial, its affiliates, subsidiaries, and successors, and publish a list of those identified entities and sub-entities with which direct financial transactions would disproportionately benefit such services or personnel at the expense of the Cuban people. In other words, I'm instructing my executive branch to expose, you immediately shall expose all of the various operations that the communist government has running in the U.S., and we're going to dry those things up. We will prohibit direct financial transactions with these entities. Going down further. Let's see here. He talks about Guantanamo. Skip down through that. It's kind of detailed. Skipping down. This is all important, but we don't have much time. The Secretary of the Treasury shall regularly audit travel to Cuba to ensure that travelers are complying with relevant statutes and regulations. In other words, we're going to get a clamp on this thing. We're going to control our borders. We're going to monitor who gets on and off of airplanes, comes through our borders, lands in boats. And this shall be inspected and audited. A report shall be provided to me, the president, summarizing the results of these inspections within 180 days of this memo. Prohibited officials of the government of Cuba is a whole list of people, ministers, vice ministers, employees, the National Assembly of People's Power. Well, that's a great communist term. Members of any provincial assembly. In other words, all the commies in Cuba don't bother trying to travel to the U.S. We'll cuff you. We, the Secretary of State and the representative of the U.S. and the U.N. shall oppose all efforts at the U.N. or any other international forum to lift the embargo on Cuba until a transition government in Cuba, as described in the Libertad Act, exists. In other words, a replacement for the communist dictatorship. It just, you know, on and on, this is just beautiful. If I'm a Cuban American, or if I'm a Cuban, this man, Donald Trump, just did more for my country than any other person who's ever lived. This memorandum supersedes, and then he has a whole list of Barack Obama crap and Clinton crap that it supersedes and it replaces. Going down to the bottom, signed Donald J. Trump.
Hooray for Don, Jimes.
Yeah. Hey, I heard a bloop, and I guess that was you arriving. Hey, welcome. This is George from Maryland, folks. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, James, and it's good to have who I think it is as the chief executive.
Yes. Before you arrived, we listened to Donald Trump, just a magnificent presentation to a bunch of really jubilant and really important. It was a who's who of Cuban Americans in Miami, and in the audience, there were half a dozen cabinet members. Acosta was there, and the way Mike Pence said Secretary Acosta, I think the way he said it, I'm getting the idea that Acosta might be a Cuban American. Secretary Perdue was there, Sonny Perdue, Governor Rick Scott, and Marco Rubio, and Congressman Diaz-Balart. Very powerful audience. But going towards 2020, George, we had a great time on November 8th last year, calling the election. Well, we're going to get ready for deja vu all over again on November 8th of 2020. Because, I mean, I don't think it's going to be an easy run for Donald Trump, because our enemies are so numerous. They're digging them out and defeating them. We're just getting started. So get ready on November 8th of 2020, folks, for a nail biter. Donald Trump's going to have to carry Florida. And those Cuban Americans that he talked to on Friday, they're going to help him deliver Florida. It's a lot of votes in Florida. The Cuban Americans, a lot of power.
As usual, George's perception's a little different. Incumbency is extraordinarily powerful. People don't want to, change horses and change a winner.
That's true.
I wanted people to show me 25 Republicans who aren't going to go with Trump right now.
Yeah, that's true. Good point by George, folks. The power of incumbency. We'll be back right after this break.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We're back, folks. George just made a salient point with the power of incumbency. I was just thinking back. Well, let me go back a little further here. Let's go back all the way to Eisenhower. In fact, add him in there. I was just adding it up here on a pad of paper, the power of incumbency. And of course, don't go back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Boy, you're talking four terms there. But, you know, Eisenhower, two terms. Kennedy would clearly have won two terms, if not cut short by the assassination. He was a very popular president. Nixon, two terms. Reagan, two terms. Clinton, two terms. George Bush Jr., two terms. Obama, two terms. You're right, George. And the only people who muffed it, Lyndon Johnson, he wasn't. He was a replacement after an assassination. He doesn't count. Same with Gerald Ford, a replacement after a resignation. He doesn't count. America never selected Ford or Johnson as president. Jimmy Carter, he's the first one who managed to blow it in one term. The only other one to blow it in one term was George Herbert Walker Bush. So those two guys managed to fumble the ball. But seven other presidents, going back to Eisenhower, did in fact manage to use incumbency for a second term. So that's an encouraging thought going into 2020, George. Thank you.
More than encouraging. The hysteria of the other side right now is they know they have precisely zero chance of defeating Donald Trump in a 2020 presidential election. absolute zero. So they're going to have to make hay now or forget it.
Okay, that's another powerful thought. I like that.
If Barack Obama was the most nauseating blah, blah, blah in the history of the human race, and he won a second term without even blinking an eyeball.
Right.
I mean, every patriot white in America vomits every time they see that man. He got elected like it was nothing. Donald Trump has excited every patriot and has added, you know, tremendously to his base. I mean, he's sticking his finger in the eye of the other side, and now we have all-out war, you know, between the deep state and us. And he's not going to get elected. I think the thing I want to talk about is the elections in 2018.
Okay, yes.
It would be nice to add 4, 5, 6, 7, or 15 or 25. I'm not in love with Republicans, but certainly rather have Donald Trump with a big old majority on that side of the aisle.
Add some senators, add some congressmen, yes, in 2018. That would make the next 2 years and the next 6 years much easier. That very, very good. And I really like your optimism there, George. So that maybe on November 8th of 2020, when we're hosting this show, we'll be describing something that will not be a nail biter. And that would be a very exciting thing to look forward to.
Well, look at the insanity of the 5 months. I mean, you know, we got 19, 20 more to go before, well, it's a long time to 2020. I mean, the world's going to be radically different than it is now. It's going to be radically different in 2 years. So my eyes are still glued to Don, fire the special prosecutor. So I'm wondering what he's going to do this week.
Oh, now. Okay, you bring up a very interesting story. Let me try to remember her name now. The number three at the Justice Department, her last name is Brand. Let me look her up. This is kind of interesting, folks. If Rod Rosenstein has to walk the plank, or whatever, however you want to say it, recuse himself or get fired or whatever, let me try to remember her name now. I'm going to Google her. And this is an interesting woman who would then become effectively the Attorney General as regards Robert Mueller's Russiagate witch hunt. Let me write her name. I see Brand, Justice Department. If you get her name before I do, George, let me know. Assistant, I know that's in her title somewhere. Assistant Attorney General. For administration, that's what she is, actually. Let me get her. Rachel Brand. And let's look at Rachel Brand. Here she is. She is born in 1973, so she's young. She's only 44. Rachel Lee Brand, American lawyer, academic, and government official. And if she gets this job, she'll be, people have talked about it, she will be the most powerful woman in the U.S. She was sworn in as the U.S. Associate Attorney General on May 22, 2017, after being nominated for the position by Donald Trump, confirmed by the United States Senate. Now, encouraging thing about that confirmation, it was a party-line confirmation. The Democrats did not want her. Good. By contrast, when Rod Rosenstein was confirmed, it was, I think, like 96-2. It was like, you know, unanimous.
You were right about Rod Rosenstein. And you and I got taken to the woodshed by a couple of our friends here about Mr. Rosenstein. And Mr. Rosenstein has held up his end of the bargain. He is one of them. Don, right. Fire the special persecutor and send Mr. Rosenstein to MSNBC so he could sit next to Rachel Maddow. Very simple. You're not going to get impeached. Do it tomorrow, Don.
Here's more Rachel Brand. Prior to becoming Associate Attorney General, Brand was an associate professor at the Antonin Scalia Law School. Oh, I want to know more about that. Brand, the daughter, and granddaughter of Dutch dairy farmers. Ooh, I like that. Was born in Muskegon, if I pronounced it right, Michigan, and raised in Pella, Iowa. A graduate of the University of Minnesota Law School and the Harvard Law School, Brand clerked for U.S. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. I like that. And she is, I'll skip some of her history. She is the chairman of the Federalist Society's Litigation Practice Group.
Gosh, you're practically a female Attila the Hun. What are you waiting for, Don? Rosenstein, you know, give him a nice plum job to be, you know, send him to be the ambassador to Taiwan or something.
Yeah,
and bring a real human being to be the, you know, your lead watch attack dog.
Now, on February 1st, 2017, Donald Trump nominated her to be United States Associate Attorney General. Her appointment was confirmed 52-46, straight party line vote, folks, by the U.S. Senate on May 18th. That's just a little while ago. She's barely gotten her stuff into her desk on May 18th, 2017. And the so she would be great. Now, she, what's a good basis for pushing Rod Rosenstein to the side? Well, Rosenstein is up to his eyeballs. Rosenstein and Comey, it was Rosenstein who wrote a memo to Donald Trump saying, fire Comey. Now, so he is involved in if Robert Mueller is going to attack Donald Trump on the basis that Donald Trump improperly fired James Comey and thereby obstructed justice. Now, that's all ridiculous, by the way, folks. That is not a good case, and it doesn't hold up. But if that's what the Democrats do, if that's what Robert Mueller does, Rosenstein has a conflict of interest because he did write a strong memorandum telling Donald Trump Comey needs to be fired. So if the problem is Trump's firing of Comey, Rosenstein can be pushed to the side. Jeff Sessions could push him to the side. He's Rosenstein's boss. He could say, Rosenstein has to recuse himself. I am recusing him because he wrote this memo, as did I, recommending the firing of Comey. Now, Rachel Brand, she doesn't have a dog in the fight. She doesn't have a brand in the fire, pardon the pun. And so she is good to go. And I like Rachel Brand. I like to, and by the way, folks, she's beautiful. Let's add that to there. So I like Rachel Brand being in charge of this loose cannon, Robert Mueller. And then she, George, she can rein him in. She, as his boss, could say, hey, what do you got, Jack? You know, you're spending a lot of money. You've hired a lot of $300, $400 an hour attorneys. What do you got? And show me what you've got. And then she could look it over and say, you ain't got nothing. There's nothing indictable here. There are no crimes here. This is not a fishing expedition, Mr. Mueller. If you don't have something that's worth a special counsel, and by the way, it's not. This was clarified by Donald Trump's attorney, Jay Sekulow, today. I watched an interview. He said Robert Mueller is not an independent counsel. He's a special counsel. There's a difference. He's not on his own. He is under the supervision of Rod Rosenstein. Now, I don't like that supervision, but I like him on a short leash held by Rachel Brand. So maybe that's where we're going. And remember, folks, this Donald Trump tweet, let's go back and repeat this tweet. This was an amazing tweet that he did where he said, this was a shot across the bow for Rod Rosenstein. He said, I am being investigated. He said this on June 16th. I am being investigated for firing the FBI director, Comey, by the man, it's Rosenstein, who told me to fire the FBI director. Witch hunt.
Ooh. I don't. Well, yeah, well, I saw it. We all read it. And that, how long is that? How long ago is that? A week now?
No, that's 2 days.
Okay, it's 2 days. We'll give them a couple more. But, you know, if we're in a state of all-out coup against the president, which I think we are, then I'm going, fire these two guys. I mean, every head of state in the entire world would do that. Why are we waiting beyond Monday at lunchtime?
Well, okay. But, I mean, you know, he's got, you know, the whole country and the whole world to run. Imagine if you and I had to give that speech to the Cuban Americans in Miami. You know, you and I would need a week or 10 days to prepare for that one speech. You know, he gets an hour, and then he's got an hour to prepare for the next huge thing. I'm impressed with his speed of getting these things done. And I like the way that they're lining up the ducks here.
Well, I like it. I'm gauging the oh my godder, starting with Pat Buchanan. Just how much of a catastrophic crisis is this? I mean, Lou Dobbs is saying, you know, is the ship of state at all engines stop right now? I want to know. What am I missing? Has it run aground? Are we totally dead in the water because CSNBC or XYNBC doesn't like, you know, that Donald Trump doesn't like Rosenstein?
Well, you know, the deep state wants Trump gone, and they want to sink his presidency. So what Mueller is, he is, in fact, a fishing expedition. He has hired some very high-priced, left-wing lawyers.
Got all that. So if that's all the case, now all I want to talk about is, when is Don going to do it, and why hasn't he done it yet?
Well,
and how long are we going to have to wait? Is it going to be 4th of July weekend? Are we going to let them, you know, stir the pot all the way till Labor Day?
Well,
wish it were me. I'd fire him tomorrow morning. I'd fire him tonight.
Well, but you see, he may not need to fire him. I mean, firing him, I think I would fire him. But he's got to assess the tools that he has. He probably is not just now studying Rachel Brand. If somebody worse than Rod Rosenstein were, you know, in position behind Rod Rosenstein, that's one play. You don't want to go there. But I like Rachel Brand. I like the fact that the Democrats didn't like her. You know, you can kind of gauge who your friends are by who their enemies are. My enemies don't like Rachel Brand. That makes me already, just looking at her picture here, start to like her. If Donald Trump can make this play, firing Mueller has its costs. That gives the perception to it feeds the New York Times and the Washington Post going, oh, Donald Trump, he fired the guy that was going to, clobber his presidency. Donald Trump wasn't man enough. He couldn't take it and so on. That's one play. But if he pushes Rosenstein aside for being, in fact, having a conflict of interest, which he now has, he just says, no, Rosenstein has to step aside. I'm not firing anybody. You're still the assistant attorney general, Rod, but now the associate attorney general is now the senior person, the only one without a conflict of interest and who doesn't need to be recused. And she now is going to put Robert Mueller on a short leash, saying, what have you got? If you don't have anything, I want to see it right now. Put it on my desk. I don't want to hear from you in a year after you spent $50 million. And by the way, these special counsels, if you think back to Ken Starr and people like that, they can burn up $100 million like nothing. I don't want to hear from you in a year. I don't want your proceedings to be secret. I don't want them kept from me. I want to see what you do day by day, and I want to see a work product. If you don't have some substantial crimes, then that's it. You close up shop. And she can shut him down. She can just say, Donald Trump doesn't need to fire him. Rachel Brand can say, you ain't got nothing. You're showing me nothing here. You got a big nothing burger, Mr. Mueller, BFF, best friend forever of James Comey, which everybody has said is the case. How in the world did we end up with the best friend forever of James Comey investigating, attacking Donald Trump on behalf of James Comey? God.
And that's why I'm the scenario you just painted, That is a scenario. I just wish it was me. You know, I'm going to have the opprobrium of the times in the compost no matter what.
Right.
So I'm going, okay, it's Tuesday morning, the 20th, and we just, Mr. Rosenstein, I've accepted his resignation. We're going forward in a different direction, and I'm hiring two new special prosecutors. In fact, they're independent, and they're going to investigate all of you guys for leaks of top secret information.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, the Post and the Times, your defendants in the case.
Yeah, but see, with Rosenstein, again, I don't want to, you know, Donald Trump's going to make the call, and I'm assuming he's a brilliant man. He's a genius. He is, I feel bad, critiquing him on, what he's not doing that would be smarter, if you listen to me. I think he'll do something really brilliant. And I think pushing Rosenstein to the side, saying, gee, you wrote this memo to me saying fire James Comey. Now we're investigating the firing of James Comey. Son of a gun, you got a conflict of interest there, son. And you're going to have to step aside. And now we have this wonderful person, Rachel Brand, who's going to come in and supervise Bob Mueller. I think that would do it. And we'll see. Let's cross our fingers. I like it.
How long are we going to have to wait, James? Can we send an RBN letterhead up to Don and say, hey, Don, do it.
Tomorrow. But this is – things are moving at the pace that the public, can digest these things. Here I'm Googling Rachel Brand, and all I could remember was her last name, and that, and I was struggling with that. So here I am, everybody's got to get up to speed and figure these things out. And of course, not most people, George, are not news hounds as we are. And so, it takes a little while for all of this to get out, disseminate, and get digested. Let's see if Jeff in Utah, what he's digested. Jeff, are you out there?
Yes, I am, James. Hey, I wanted to thank you for all your hard work. But I wanted to talk about just the 8 years of Obama rule, how it was just psychological torture, and how far we've come from that. But Obama absolutely never missed an opportunity to criticize white people or the founders. And I even remembered some of the indignities I suffered during the reign of this guy. I have my list right here. But if you'll remember, Obama's HUD secretary was Julian Castro, and his mother was a militant who started a La Raza group in Chicago, and they were they had a supercomputer that zeroed in on the white neighborhoods, and they used Section 8 housing to break up white neighborhoods. I have a friend who lives in a gated community with million-dollar homes in Las Vegas, and even he has a Section 8 neighbor a couple of homes down, and since they've moved in, they've had four car burglaries. So it's not just poor neighborhoods, it's all neighborhoods if they happen to be white. Plus, he wanted to ship refugees to the smallest towns that were white just to break us up as being conservative voters or attack us. And then he'd always have little innuendos in his speeches. He said he credited Arabs and Muslims for building starting the founding of America. And Al Sharpton used to even say, Greeks never invented anything. They stole it from us. And Obama would, in his little speeches, he'd have innuendos about thanking Muslims for building America and this kind of stuff. At the time, I thought, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. But I jumped on Amazon and started reading what Al Sharpton and Farrakhan and Obama, what guys like that thought. But anyway, they believe that white people and the founding fathers stole their ideas from a group of enlightened black Muslim Moors. And I thought, this is crazy. And then I asked my coworker, who's fairly awake on politics, I said, have you ever heard anything like this? This is crazy. And he said, most of our black coworkers actually did believe this idea, and it was spreading fast. I said, well, we got the names of our great European leaders and the Wright brothers who invented the airplane and all these stuff. He said, well, how do you compete with a YouTube video that says you stole all of that? And then, well, this may not have anything to do with Obama or not, but I noticed an Air Force commercial that had no white people whatsoever, and it was us that invented the airplane. Then I was equally humiliated when Google had a Veterans Day tribute page, and it had no white guys in it. I thought, how humiliating it'd be to my uncles who fought World War II. But anyway, I also, there's a caller who calls in, Ed from Utah, who calls into your show, and we've actually had a good radio station here, and it's not like RBN, but there is some free discussion going on there, so I get to hear from Ed once in a while. And I was also going to ask you what you thought. A couple of shows ago, you talked about the low birth rate of our people. And I was just wondering, through the HP1 visas, maybe we could steal.
Jeff, not in Utah.
Yes.
Not a low birth rate in Utah.
Well, it's not like it used to be, but we're still holding firm here. I mean, even in the Hispanic areas, you can still see quite a few white people here. But it used to be because of the church influence here. I mean, we were having tons and tons of kids for years, and then all of a sudden it started to coincide with the national trends of becoming low again.
Well, if you get a hear from George, okay. You know, it's been all-out war on whites in Obama's administration. It goes back a lot longer than that. The latest humiliation I hate is watching USAA and its commercials one after another. There's a big black GI with his white wife and another big black GI with his white wife. And they've got two or three children who look black. This nice, smiling, blonde-haired, blue-eyed white woman with her wonderful new Negro husband. I don't know. You wouldn't have seen that 5 years ago or even 20 years ago, but it's every day now. You know, USAA had got taken to the woodshed some weeks ago for beating up on Hannity. But, you know, go into a grocery store anywhere in the United States and listen to the crap that comes out of that speaker. If it ain't rap music, it's close, and it's anything they can put out there to not just humiliate whites, but to send the message, we hate you. Attention, white shoppers, we hate you. That's America.
Oh, it's bad. I mean, any type of a news program is unwatchable because the white is always the evil and mean oppressor, and the non-white is always shown in a sympathetic light, is the sweet, innocent little victim. I mean, all of this stuff, it has to be so scripted from a central source. I mean, if you remember during Trump's speech where they mentioned how dark it was, within 10 minutes, every media outlet from Boston to Berlin all said how dark it was, like it was being scripted from a central source. It's just, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, you talk about Obama running down all of our institutions and all of our heroes and the nonstop psychological torture that the Obama administration was. And here's a let me I'll connect that thought with the its reversal by Donald Trump here with Rachel Brand just a moment ago. You know, as I was listening to your wise words there, Jeff, I was looking up Rachel Brand, and we mentioned in the course of looking her up that she had a position. What was that position? Let me find it here. She had a position as associate professor at the Antonin Scalia Law School. Now, that sure catches my interest. I like that name. And it's interesting. We'll talk about the Antonin Scalia Law School and Rachel Brand right after this break.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
So sick and tired of listening to what you got to say. I decided I just got to stand up and say so. Sick and tired of being sick.
We're back, folks.
Treated this way, so
and we've got Jeff in Utah on the phone. Mitzi in Florida is holding. Mitzi, we'll get to you shortly here. I want to talk about Rachel Brand just for a second here. We learned that she was associate professor, or was it assistant professor, at the Antonin Scalia Law School, associate professor. And my goodness, what is that? The Antonin Scalia Law School was formerly called the George Mason University School of Law. Of course, we all know who Antonin Scalia is. We all love him. Donald Trump has rescued his legacy by bringing Neil Gorsuch onto the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court was gutted when Antonin Scalia was lost to it, either by natural or unnatural death. But the Antonin Scalia Law School is the law school of George Mason University, and we all love George Mason. He is in many ways the father of the Bill of Rights. He wrote the Virginia Bill of Rights, which served as the model for our Constitution's Bill of Rights. He's one of only three delegates to the Constitutional Convention who refused to sign the Constitution. Why? He said, we need a Bill of Rights. He had written the Virginia Bill of Rights earlier. We need a Bill of Rights to this thing before I'll sign it. And that gave us, we can thank George Mason for the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, eighth, ninth, and tenth amendments. So I love that. And George Mason, by the way, just another little less important detail, he's my ninth cousin. The common grandfather that George Mason and I share, I looked it up during the break, is Sir Edmund Sutton, the second Baron Dudley, who lived from 1425 to 1483 in Britain. He is a grandfather. He's my 16th great-grandfather, and he's also a great-grandfather of George Mason, who lived from 1725 to 1792. So I like all of... Oh, there are more great connections for Rachel Brand. We learned that she was grew up as a child of Dutch dairy farmers in Pella, Iowa. Well, you know, I like where people come from and who they are. Kind of tells me what they're going to do for us or to us. Pella, Iowa, a wonderful Dutch settlement. When Rachel Brand grew up there, she was born in 1973, the year after another Pella child, John Hospers, ran as the first Libertarian Party candidate for president, which he ran in 72, was born in Pella, Iowa. But she grew up in Pella, Iowa. Well, what kind of town is Pella, Iowa? 10,000 population. I like that. I live in a town of 50,000 here in North Dakota myself. And let's look at the, we always say on this show that demography is destiny. What was the demography? What is the demography of the town in which Rachel Brand grew up? Well, 95% white. Sounds good to me. We'll be back with Mitzi right after this break. Stay tuned.
Time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.